Hello and welcome, Cosmic Explorers, to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I am your co-creator, host Hillis Pugh, along with
Rebecca Gregory here.
And we have a beautiful show planned for you guys today. I am so honored and so excited to have my soul sister on with us today. I mean, she is just full of wealth and knowledge and just a shining light. So everyone, I want to welcome my dear soul sister, Shelley Milana, onto the show. She is a psychic surgeon, a Reiki master, kinetic yoga instructor, wellness coach, and energy facilitator. And her approach to this particular work in these different modalities is rooted in mindfulness, gratitude, and connecting to nature in all ancient traditions. She helps all her clients reclaim their well-being and balance through her various modalities. So, my dear Chalet Soul Sister, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So, my dear, you know, we have a little bit of history, but... What was the main driving force for you to explore these different modalities for yourself and to be of service to other people?
Excellent question. So before I was a yoga teacher and a Reiki master and a wellness coach and all these other wonderful things, I was a very sick person and I was suffering a lot in my early life. I struggled with mental health issues. I had very severe depression and anxiety. I had physical health problems. I was really overweight and tired and sluggish and struggling financially and in relationships and really in every realm of my life. I had gone to all kinds of doctors. I had gone to every doctor you can imagine and grew really frustrated because I felt like I wasn't really getting the healing that I needed. I was just getting prescriptions and tests and routed around to other doctors who couldn't help me. So, I kind of reached a personal breaking point in my life. I was in my late 20s. I had finished grad school, but was just really like desperately unhappy and just felt like I couldn't keep living life this way. So I didn't really know where to start. I didn't know what to do. I just knew like this isn't working. Like this is not the life I want for myself. I remember I was living in Philadelphia. I was unemployed and going through the deepest, darkest depression of my life. Like, could barely get out of bed, was crying sometimes all day long, all night long. And I just said, you know what? Like, I don't know what the answer is here, but I'm just going to start and I'm just going to try and we'll see what happens. And I remember, pushing myself to start going for walks every day. I would go walk for like 45 minutes, walk down by the river, kind of like sit there and connect to nature. And then from there, I started changing the way that I ate. I started incorporating more fruits and vegetables into my diet and eating a little bit more healthy. I spent about maybe like a year and a half in this sort of like stumbling in the darkness of trying to find something that would help me feel better. So like tried therapy. I was reading a lot of self-help books, just kind of like doing any and everything that could maybe help me. And I landed on a few things that really did start to make a big difference. So yoga practice was a big one for me. I had a history of trauma, and what I didn't know at that time is that, you know, trauma is not something that just exists in your head. It's something that exists in your body and really in your whole being. And yoga was a practice that really helped me begin to release that trauma. I remember practicing yoga and just like sobbing on my mat because it was just all of this pain being released from my system. I later discovered plant-based living and started to eat a lot of fresh, raw, healthy plant-based foods, which really helped to heal my physical body and invigorate my energy levels. I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped drinking coffee. I just started to get a lot more thoughtful and mindful about what I was doing and who I was around. Ended a lot of relationships that were toxic and unhealthy. Later started practicing meditation and mindfulness. I didn't have my first Reiki session until several years later, but Reiki was a really big part of transforming my energetic field and healing on a deeper level. I really connected to Reiki strongly, and I knew, I just like the first Reiki session I had, I was like, this is amazing. Like, I need to.
But it's never as good as the first time. Okay. That was.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I would also say that plant medicine was a big part of my healing. Ayahuasca, mushrooms, and really tapping into that spiritual healing that I needed to do. So, you know, it's been a journey. Like, I've gone through a lot of different modalities, and some really clicked for me, some not so much. And through this process, I've been able to really like transform my life, really heal myself, and land in a place where I do really feel good. Like right now in my life, I feel like I'm thriving. I have beautiful friendships and relationships. I'm, you know, working and making the type of money that, you know, sustains a healthy lifestyle for myself, and able to connect to other people in an authentic and meaningful way. And that's really what my work is centered around now, is helping people to be able to make those changes for themselves. So, you know, what I learned through this whole journey and this whole experience is that healing really is in your hands and it's in your power. It's just a matter of your willingness to explore and try and commit and to allow yourself to really change and transform in the ways that you need to.
I absolutely love it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey. And it really touched my heart. And, you know, especially now with everything going on in the world right now, you're exactly, you've already been through the journey. Like so many people are waking up right now going through. And it just, for me, it was just such an inspiration to hear a story like that, that's going to go out to the air, that people are going to listen to bring in that hope in the world. So thank you so much. And what do you find, you know, going through this experience, you know, and the story that you just told and the journey that you've been on, like maybe a little tidbit that you could give out to the listeners, that's something now that really helps you stay in that space, or somebody beginning on their journey, like you recommend for them to, that might be where you are, laying in bed every day, not knowing what to do at the beginning, is what would you recommend for them, or open up to give them a little advice just to get going?
Sure. I would say start small, you know. You may have really big dreams and goals for your life, and you may want to heal in a really big way, like I did, and that can feel really overwhelming. So, you know, just take one step, and take a step that feels comfortable for you. You know, going to a yoga class might be too much. It might feel scary and overwhelming, and that's okay, but maybe you can do a YouTube video, or maybe just a few stretches, or just go for a walk, you know, like just start moving in the direction of your healing. And once you take that first step, the next step will be easier, and the next step will be easier. And then eventually you'll get kind of a momentum to it, and it'll just feel like you're drawn into your healing, and it won't feel like so much effort to keep it going.
Oh, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Has something to say.
See, this is what happens when we're like so intuitively connected. You just know.
I won't ask questions for you tonight, okay?
Okay, deal. But it's interesting because I love the story. I appreciate your journey and the information that you've shared with us and everyone who's watching. But wouldn't you say that intuition, that listening to your mind and listening to your body is the biggest part of this? That yes, you know, you may not have the motivation to get up and to move, or have the desire to, or sometimes you just want to stick in your old habits because it's comfortable for you. But, you know, can you explain to us that part of your journey, like the mental aspect of listening to your intuition and body?
Oh, absolutely. Intuition is a huge part of it. And, you know, when I first started on this journey, I was someone who didn't really believe in intuition. I thought it was kind of like woo-woo or weird and like not something I really listened to. I was, a scientist and a researcher. And I'm like, no, I listen to logic and facts, right? But, you know, going through this experience, I had to learn to accept intuition as another form of knowing. Mm-hmm. Because there are things that are beyond logic and beyond reason in the healing journey, which is very mystical, right? So there'd be certain things and certain people I would just be attracted to and not know why. There's no way to explain it. But just learning to trust that and learning to trust that I'm being called to something for a reason. In terms of kind of overcoming that sense of inertia of like, I just don't want to, I've definitely been there and that's hard. But, you know, it's kind of like when you're in that state of unhappiness and unwellness, it's like you'll get to a tipping point where it's like no matter how hard it might feel, staying in this state is even worse. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're really ready to start moving, you know? And that feeling of like, I'd rather just lay here is always gonna be there. But when you're really ready for something bigger to take place in your life and you're really ready to grow and change and heal, you're going to have to learn how to push through that. And it takes practice. You know, there are certain days that I wake up, I meditate, I do yoga, and I'm just rocking and rolling, right? And then there's other days where I sleep in late, I forget my meditation. Not happening, right?
And this is someone who's dedicated, people. Let me tell you, she is a trooper. She does it. But yeah.
But every day is a practice, you know? And so it's like you just have to check in. It's like, well, this is where I'm at today. And also learn that self-acceptance and self-compassion that, like, this is just where I'm at today. And tomorrow I'll practice again. I'll try again. Maybe I'm just going to meditate 5 minutes today because, like, that's all I got. And that's okay, too.
And that, thank you for bringing up that point, because that's a huge point. People start, you know, starting practices and meditation and this and that, and they get a little, that mindset, I have to do this, this amount of time, or whatever they have told, the story they told themselves. And it is very important to be kind to yourself and honor yourself and say, hey, today I'm here, it's not going to happen, and be okay and accepting of that love of honoring yourself and your body and what you require at that time. So thank you so much for, you know, expressing that today, because it is so very important, because we are our worst enemy.
Definitely.
You know,
to sabotage ourselves.
Yes, and I was sabotaging myself before we got on tonight, because I'm like, it's Thursday, it's the usual day for me to go for my bike ride, and I'm like, it ain't happening today. My legs are just tired, I'm tired. And listening to this is like, yeah, I can do it. I can go out. I don't have to do 11 or 12 miles. I can just do 5 or 8 and mm-hmm. be done. But, you know, I always push myself. So, you know.
I thought you like to go at night now.
I do. So when would you do it?
And sometimes you just need to get started. Like sometimes I'm like, I don't feel like practicing, but I'm just going to do like 1 or 2 yoga postures. And then once I get on the mat, I'm like, okay, no, I'm fine. I'm going to do my 30.
That's exactly it. And I think that's a big part of it because, you know, when, you know, I used to be an avid gym rat. I was in the gym like 5 days a week, you know, 2 hours. And I'm like super cut, ripped, but those days are gone. But those days will be coming back when I don't know, but they're coming back. But right. But and the thing is, it's like when we get in that space, we find that energy of self-motivation. Just like, you know, I'm better than this, or I am this. And we step into that energy of the I am presence to counter that divine energy to allow for that movement to fulfill that goal, to have that sense of accomplishment, because it's the dopamine and the serotonin that feeds the brain, that gives us that excitement and that joy, so it just keeps feeding itself. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you say that part of that self-acceptance, that self-love, you know, those chemical reactions, that, you know, being a scientist and researcher, wouldn't you say that is a big part of the missing piece as well, you know, because we always want that self-fulfillment, but you know, sometimes we go for what's easy, like grabbing the bag of cookies or chips or something.
Mm-hmm. I knew cookies were coming in.
Yeah, cookies. Cookies come in every show.
Yes, definitely. I think that most of us in this culture and in this society are struggling with a lot of unhealed trauma. Mm-hmm. A lot of exhaustion, physical, mental, spiritual depletion. And coming from that point of view, it's really easy to just want to reach for a quick fix, like something that's just going to make me feel better right now, whether that be cookies, chips, sex, drugs, you know. Like any of these like kind of quick mood boost type of activities, right? But, you know, you have to come to recognize that there's no real shortcuts in life. And when you do that, you're kind of setting yourself up for feeling worse after. Like when you eat a whole bunch of sugar or junk food, think about how you're gonna feel in 2 hours, which is like even worse than where you started. Right? Or if you have sex with someone who's not a loving, connected partner, how are you going to feel the next day? You know, might not be great. So it's like, we have to kind of, in a sense, begin to heal our nervous system so that we're not addicted or like clinging to these quick fixes, and start to find that higher level of dopamine, serotonin, connection and feeling, right? So like when you work out or you know, go for a hike, do something that is really nourishing and fueling yourself, you feel even better after, the next day, the days after. You feel this like this invigoration that comes through you, right? So it's kind of like you have to retrain yourself from grabbing for the, I guess, like the candy, right? To like going for like a really big juicy kale salad that's gonna like really nourish your system and have you feeling like full of energy and life in a few hours.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm gonna ask this, Rebecca, then you can jump in, because this is something that's been on my head that Chalet just sparked. I'm sorry.
I tell you, I'm like, oh.
So, you know, being, and I'm speaking from my perspective. So someone who is vegan, who eats plant-based, you know, I feel that there's this space of this adolescent behavior, you know, because it's like, ooh, vegan cookies, ooh, vegan mac and cheese, ooh, vegan this, ooh, vegan this. So it's like anything that's vegan or plant-based, I want to try. And it doesn't matter what it is. I just want to eat it and try it because it's something that's, you know, that I can have. Now, I can say, you know, when I was, you know, a meat eater, you know, a carnivore, you know, it was much, I wasn't tempted as much because there was more of what I could eat. So wouldn't you say that, you know, you have to be a bit more disciplined as someone who is plant-based and vegan to...
Yeah, I think the vegan world has really exploded over the last few years, and there's so many like new exciting products on the market now, including lots of delicious vegan junk food that's in the market. and it's tempting, right? So, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't ever have these things. I think we all have to give ourselves a little bit of flexibility to indulge from time to time. But, you know, there's a lot of vegans out there who are really unhealthy. I've been seeing that more and more, like vegans who are really sick and overweight. And it's like, you know, it's not just about being vegan, right? It's also about being healthy and being vibrant and being full of life and connected to life force energy. And in order to really get on that level, you really need to be eating primarily whole foods, like fresh vegetables and lightly cooked vegetables and fruits. So my recommendation to anyone who's plant-based or not is to really think about most of your diet being whole plant-based foods, like whole fruits and vegetables, which will involve, you know, a lot of food prep and cooking. It is work that goes into eating that way. It's not always going to be something you can just pick up at a restaurant or pick up that's going to be in a bag or a package. And then, you know, if you want to have a little treat, make it be something that happens on an infrequent basis. So instead of indulging in those cookies every night, it could be like, it'd be like every 2 weeks. Yeah.
You know, I can say I've been good. I haven't had any cookies since I've been back from vacation.
Okay. Good job.
But there are cookies coming next week.
That's okay too.
So you find what was coming to me when we were talking about the vegan and food and eating, you know, I always struggle kind of off the board of like where to go. Cause there's so many, like, I feel so many labels right now put on how you eat where, and the judgment around food. You know, I want to give it to my story with, you know, that and just how people look at you different if you eat a certain way. And it's, you know, it's so interesting to me. It's almost like another layer of, once again, I'm going back to judging people for what they do. It's, you know, kind of wrapping that world. But, you know, what is your mind, you know, your thought about, you know, because I feel like we should, about the whole foods, you know, it's kind of like, we've got to look at food as the source of where it comes from and not, and what we're putting in our body and not, you know, because some of these, as I said, some of these vegan foods have more, are just nothing but chemicals. Mm-hmm. And because it has the label vegan on it. You know, like, oh, it's vegan, I can have it. And I'm like, well, I'd rather have, you know, I'd rather eat something else that just is natural and comes from, you know, than the chemicals, you know. So it's very interesting, the concept all around this food and all the different labels and everything that's happening around food now. Instead of, I feel like we should, do you feel like we should just like get down to our body to listen to what our body requires?
Definitely. You know,
I remember sitting with a friend one time and who's a vegan, but done ceremony and was all this and was out to a restaurant. His body just really wanted a piece of beef. Like you could see him sitting there and he's like, I just want steak. I need a steak. But he had gone through this thing, like in that moment, even though he's a vegan and, you know, and struggling, like you could feel the struggle. And I was just like, well, if your body really requires that right now, And he didn't. He ate the vegan dish instead of the steak, like the mushrooms or whatever it was. And I remember just looking at him. He was so dissatisfied from his meal in that moment because he didn't listen to what his body, like something with that meal, his body required in that moment, you know? And anyhow, so I just kind of went off on a little tangent there. But yeah, I just find it so interesting, the mindfulness that's, you know, and all the different intricate levels that are being placed on us around food.
You are so right, Rebecca. I think food and eating has been a source of so much tension and stress for a lot of people in our culture and our society. And it's become so loaded, like you said, with judgment and shame and fear. You know, I have really had to try to think about, like, what did my ancestors eat, right? And I'm thinking, like, way back, like, before colonization, before all these other people started telling my ancestors what they were supposed to eat, like, what were they eating? And that was really primarily plant foods, right? There would likely be some small amounts of meat, but there's no time in history before recently that folks were eating meat all day long the way that we do now, right? And also, I want to pick up on one thing that you said about the energy in the food that we eat. So it's like, you know, I started doing research about, like, well, where do eggs come from? Where does milk come from and dairy? And like, what is the experience of the animals who are making this sacrifice for us, and farm animals and fish, and realizing that, you know, they live really difficult, tortured, short lives in a tremendous amount of fear and rage. And then we're eating that, we're consuming that and taking in all that pain and rage and sadness and wondering like why we're so sad and upset and angry all the time, right? So it's like, you got to start to make the connection there, like what's going on. I think that being overly rigid can be just as bad. Like you're saying with your friend who was just like having this intense craving and not allowing himself to have it. It's like, you know, for some people maybe they do need to eat small amounts of meat, right? But think about where that meat's coming from, and maybe you want to have meat that you know, where an animal lived a more whole natural life.
And that's the key,
right?
Is where your food's sourced from,
right?
Yeah. I will share this story, another hellish vulnerable moment. So yes, I just expressed that I am a primarily vegan plant-based diet, but I will say, and Chalet is a witness to this, that every morning with our Peruvian family for plant medicine, they would go around and they would serve alpaca. And this meat, alpaca was blessed by the shaman. It was prepared and how, and even before they killed the alpaca knew what was happening. So it was that transference of energy of love and nurturing and new. So it was in that space where I did consume tiny amounts of meat, but it was with that energy of unconditional love and knowing what it was. So yes, knowing where your food comes from, people, is very important. So you know what I want to move into is go ahead, Rebecca, you have a question.
Oh, I was going to move into something else myself. I was actually very fascinated about is it Kemetic yoga you do, the Egyptian yoga? I've never heard of that before. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that. I was like, what is this? This is exciting. I've never heard of this before.
I'm so happy to bring it up. So Kemetic yoga is an African yoga tradition that comes from Kemet, which is the word for Egypt before it was invaded by Arabs. Yes. Mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people don't know about the African origins of yoga because much of African history has been obscured and wiped away and mistold. Long before yoga was known in India, there were drawings and paintings and carvings on walls and pyramids of yoga postures. My yoga teacher was a scholar who traveled to Egypt multiple times and was like looking at these, you know, these drawings and paintings and carvings, and he's like, this looks like yoga. And people would be like, no, they're just dancing, or no, they're just sitting like that. So he actually went on this long journey of learning hieroglyphics, learning how to interpret these paintings and drawings, and revitalize this yoga practice that comes from that region and comes from these ancient times. So what exactly is Kemetic yoga? It's a yoga tradition that involves sacred geometric body postures. Mm-hmm. There are certain flows and sequences that are a lot like vinyasa yoga. Mm-hmm. And then there's certain postures that are more, that you kind of hold, more like Ashtanga yoga. Mm-hmm. It is typically practiced very slowly and mindfully. So there's kind of like a meditative aspect to it and a deep breathing that's part of the practice as well.
Nice.
I've been practicing yoga for over 6 years now. And when I decided I was ready to train and become a yoga teacher, I connected to Kemetic yoga for a lot of reasons. But what I found through the practice is that I was able to access more of the spiritual dimensions of yoga versus just the physical practice of it through the breath work and meditation that's kind of built into the practice.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. Where could people get, or actually, where can I get some more information on that? Or do you have an online class or anything?
I'm not teaching at the moment, but I will be soon. You can check out my website. Thanks for pulling that up, Hillis.
Yes, I was like, down below is the website.
You can also, my yoga teacher's website is yogaskills.com. You can find more about the origins of Kemetic yoga, and I have it linked to my page as well.
Oh, thank you so much for that information. That really intrigued me. So I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. You know, and I just want to add to that because, you know, like Shelley, you know, I had my yoga practice that I was doing. But when I was maybe about 9 or 10 years old, my mom used to take me to yoga all the time. And the yoga teacher's name was Imhotep. I believe I pronounced that right. And Charlene and I had a discussion about this. And I realized that I was doing Kemetic yoga at 9 or 10 years old. And I'm like, and then when I got older, and I'm like, no, it's not downward facing dog, but what's the other one? Where it's upward facing dog? That one. I can't think of the proper name for it, but whatever it's called. And I was like, this is the upward facing dog. This is the cobra. Mm-hmm. This is what it's called.
Yeah.
Why are they calling it this? And then the savasana where you just lay down and a lot of stuff. It's like, that's not that. This is called the mummy. What are you doing?
Yes.
So it's like, you know, and I'm glad you told the history of this because now it's like you get to see the correlation and I don't want to say misrepresentation, but, you know, of the cultures, of how, you know, one idea is moved on to the next and one idea, and then you take it and move it and create and have something of your own. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And it also shows learning the history of that and the history of the other yogas, of the connectivity of humanity.
Yeah.
So separate in where we live, but no, we all intermesh, you know, in practices that might be a little different or whatever, but we all flow, you know, over the century, we all flow together. It all flows together in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. Yeah. And all around the world, people have mindful movement practices, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, we're so quick to judge and say, like, well, this is yoga and that's not, right? But it's like we can go all around the world and see people doing different types of practices, Tai Chi and yoga and different things that it's basically the same energy, right? Of this mindful physical movement practice.
Yes. And that's what it's about. I think people, as you said, you know, that, oh, it's this type or that type. People get so stuck on the label or this is supposed to be that way or you're doing it wrong that way. And we forget about just having the experience of the practice, no matter what it is, because that is the experience of life and enjoying that life and for what it is and what it does for us.
Indeed. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I've always been fascinated by you with.
What's that?
Is your herbology, your depth of knowledge of the herbs and their uses. And you know, can you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure. Herbalism has been a big part of my healing journey. I started working with herbs probably about 4 or 5 years ago. Just as a way to kind of deepen the healing that I was going through. And it was very like experimental. Like, it was just like, I'll just try this. I read about it. Sounds interesting. Let me just see how it works for me. And it's part of the work that I do with clients and what I teach people. Before about 1950, I would say that most people, even in this country, knew about herbs and used herbs as part of a daily practice. It wasn't until the medical system kind of took over that realm and started discouraging people from using herbs, and also our diet changed in a way that we became more used to sweet tastes and salty tastes and less accustomed to bitter flavors, that herbalism sort of fell out of daily practice. It used to be that everybody's mom knew how to treat a fever or treat common household illnesses like a cold or a flu or even fibroids or childbirth with herbs that folks just had, that folks wildcrafted and found in their yards and in their forests. Right? This used to be common knowledge that women carried. But it's in the past 70 years or so, it's just kind of fallen out of tradition. And we've become more reliant on chemical-based medicines. So I had already had a lot of negative experiences going that route. So I was just like, well, let me just try this and see where it goes, right? And what I learned is that, you know, with herbs, you know, with prescription medicine, it's like you'll get one benefit, but then this whole host of side effects, right? And with herbs, it's the opposite. It's like you'll get one main benefit and then a whole host of side benefits too. It's like, wow, this also really helped my skin and my hair and my, you know, my knees and all these other things, right? So I have a whole like shelf full of herbs right now that Hillis is always mesmerized by when he comes over.
She makes the best teas, by the way.
Do you have a Hogwarts?
A little bit. And I whip up potions for my friends and family when they need it. So it's part of this sort of like empowered healing that I'm kind of talking about, of like tapping into the tools at your fingertips, right? Like most herbs are really inexpensive and really easy and safe to work with. But you know, a lot of people have a lot of fears and misconceptions about it, but it's a great way to really elevate your well-being and your healing in pretty easy way. And you might have to heal your palate from being so accustomed to sweet taste. Like, I remember the first time I made this really bitter tonic, I was just like, oh my God, like, I can't take this, right? But, you know, I had to just keep taking it until my palate adjusted and I learned to be more tolerant to bitter tastes. I think our natural diet does include bitter flavors. That's how our ancestors ate. But it's only recently that we've decided we don't need to eat anything bitter and we're just eating all this like sweet stuff. So,
yeah. So what's your favorite herb, or what one would you recommend? You know, one herb that you recommend for all of us to have.
Oh, just one.
Or your favorite.
I would say burdock root.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great one. It's very cheap. It's easy to find. And it is very grounding. You know, it literally comes from the earth, right? It's very grounding. And it's full of iron and lots of other minerals and nutrition. That's just a good one to have on a daily basis or on a regular basis.
Thank you for that, because I was like, I need to put some more iron in my, I was thinking of something the other day. So now I got the answer. I need to get the bird.
There you go. So
you have the universe works.
You can cook with it. I know. I was like, there's something coming to me with round iron. And I was like, see, that's fine. I personally love activated charcoal. I always travel with that because that's like one of those.
Activated in your medicine charcoal. Bag. Yes. So many different things. Gotta have.
You know, and actually you kind of surprised me there because I thought you were going to say sea moss.
Yeah, sea moss is a great one too. Yeah, I guess I think Rebecca really needed to hear me say burdock root because you're right. Normally sea moss is like my go-to. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Spirit, for bringing my answer to me. I knew for some time what I required, but now I know.
Yeah.
And that's how divine flow works. So thank you so much. And speaking of like your herbology, don't you have a new program you're developing right now?
Yes. So I am working on a holistic wellness course that's going to include a lot of different things. Herbology will be a really big component of it. Also, we're going to talk about nutritional healing and energy healing that anyone can use. You don't have to be a Reiki person or Reiki master to start to work with your own energy. And this is basically designed to be kind of like a starter pack for anybody who's trying to heal or deepen their healing. It's kind of like everything you need to know to really get started and get yourself in the mode of healing and transforming your life, of getting to like zero to the point where you have some momentum going and things are just connecting and you're just kind of rocking and rolling on your own. So it's sort of like the best of everything that I've learned in my healing journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about it. I've been working on it for some time now, and not sure exactly when we're going to launch. I'm hoping by the end of the year it's going to come together. And I think that this offering will just be a great tool for anybody who is in the space of, you know, I'm ready to change my life, I'm ready to heal, or I've started, but I want high quality information and guidance to really get me to the next level.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Now, can people, do you have like a wait list or something, or just contact me when this is ready kind of thing where people can contact you about this?
The best way to stay in the loop about it is to go to my website and get on my email list, and then you will be first to know when it opens up.
Well, I'm going to sign up tonight.
Yes.
I have a direct line, so I want to take that herbology. Yeah, exactly. I have the bat phone. No, but and the thing is, one of the not only, you know, the fact that, you know, our friendship began with you know, your plant medicine journey, but I've always honored your discipline and the path that you have chosen to really, you know, stick with it, to really say, okay, I'm seeing results. This is good. But you're also real. I mean, not everyone is going to be like on point all the time. I mean, come on. And so thank you for sharing that part of your journey to be vulnerable with us. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm not all that all the time. And so, yeah, I mean, we all have those, and thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Yes. And I think that's the most important thing, you know, especially now in time, is to be in that space to be vulnerable. Absolutely. You know, to say it's okay, because so many people are struggling thinking they have to be okay. And no, it's okay. You can have a bad day and still be in this space and be in doing this, you know, and I think it's a really important message right now. So thank you so much for expressing and being in that space with us tonight.
Absolutely. You're right, Rebecca. It's so important. I think that's part of the healing too, of healing this need to be perfect, or this self-criticism and self-aggression that we, you know, we've internalized from our society and what media and, you know, what capitalism kind of packs on top of us. And to, you know, just really give yourself some room to be where you're at, and to really, like you said, like honor yourself and honor your well-being, and know that, you know, you're not going to be 100% great every day, and that's okay, and to come into acceptance of that. And know that, you know, you still have the power inside you to do well and to be good. So,
yeah, I remember I used to kind of like to challenge myself of being imperfect sometimes. I always struggle with spelling because I'm dyslexic and I mix things up. And I used to beat myself up all the time. And I got to the point, like during my own personal journey, where I would spell words wrong and just let them, like whatever comes out, it stays the way it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so I didn't put the judgment on myself. And if somebody said something, like that's, you know, that's just to stop treating, to know it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of giving myself, oh, all the words have to be perfect. No, they don't, because this is who I am. And this is happens. And this is accepting who I am. So that really helped me to kind of challenge myself to not be triggered when somebody would call me out for spelling a word wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I just felt like I
shared
that.
You know, exactly. Thank you for sharing it too, Rebecca.
I love that, Rebecca.
I too am dyslexic, but I think I told you.
Yes.
Oh yeah. See, we have that in common too. So yeah, I definitely feel that in wanting to be, you know, not perfect and just really accepting myself as I am on this worldly, universal journey that I've been on. You know, and last week, the buzzword was unpacked.
Oh, that was awesome.
And so now, and
I hit the quotes, unpacked.
Unpacked. And so, and so, Chalet, you was just talking about how people are packing it all in, and now people have to unpack all that stuff. So what are some final thoughts for you to help people unpack all that stuff to really begin to take their wellness journey to feel better, to feel more nourished, to be whole with themselves?
Yeah, I think that self-love is absolutely key. And I remember reaching a point where I really had a reckoning about my relationship with myself. I had gone through my life and not really thought about it until I was planning something for a friend and just reflected on how much time and effort and thoughtfulness I was putting into this thing for someone else. And like, I was just like, how come I don't do this for myself? You know, like I'm always like rushing through things that I'm doing for myself and just kind of like, it's not that important, whatever, right? So I started to pay a little more attention to that. Like, what is my relationship with myself? If I say that I want something or I need something, why is it so hard for me to follow through? Right. So like, you know, and this goes back to this thing about self-discipline and practice, right? Of like, if I'm making a commitment to myself, like I know that meditation will help me. I know that it's going to help me feel better, feel more calm, more in touch with my inner state. Why is it that I'll find any excuse to miss my practice? You know, like I'll sleep in, I'll let myself get distracted, I'll do work, I'll do anything but the thing I committed to myself for. And started to really begin to rebuild that relationship with myself and treat it like I would a relationship with someone else. It's like, I know that if my boss needed me to do it, I would do it without question. Mm-hmm. If my best friend needed me to do it, nothing would get in my way. I would do it, right, for them. But like, how can you bring that same level of commitment and attention to your own needs and your own wants and your own journey? And that's where you can really start to think about self-care in a new way of like what is the care that I need to get to where I'm trying to go? If I want to be vibrant and healthy, happy, content, full of life, it's going to take a real commitment. It's going to take planning and effort and money and time, right? But, you know, it's about really recognizing that it's worth the investment for yourself and loving yourself enough to make that investment.
Mm. Thank you so much for that. Oof.
I very much appreciate the fact that you use the word investment, because that's what this is. I mean, granted, you know, we know how old we really are in universal years, in cosmic years, we know how old we are. But when you're here, there is that level of care that is needed, the level of care that is desired for you to really step into who you really are and step into the knowing of who you are. And that commitment takes, you know, an abundance of love, self-love for self, whether, like you said, no matter how small or how big it is, it's you making that commitment to you.
Yes, there's so much power in that. And when you start to really honor your commitments to yourself, and honor your own boundaries and your own needs, it really changes everything. You know, there's so many relationships that I used to involve myself in with people who would violate my boundaries or distract me from taking care of myself. And I would always like make excuses like, oh, they mean well, they really love me, it's fine, right? But it's not fine, right? It's like, I'm not okay, right?
Right.
But it's like, once you start making that investment in yourself, you stop accepting that from other people too. Like, it's like, wait a minute, you're distracting me from what I need to do to be well. I'm not gonna allow that, because I love myself so much that that's not gonna be okay for me.
It's beautiful. And so true. And people notice that too, when you start to shift the way, when you start to go into that inner self and that inner self love, they're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
What's happening here? Wait a minute. I can't, that, what? How do I handle this?
Right. And, you know, surprise, like this really surprised me, which is that, like, I always thought, like, if I don't do everything my boss asked me to do, I'm going to get fired, right? I lived in that fear, right?
I had that same
But fear. Once I started saying, like, you know what? I'm not going to work late. I'm not going to rush myself through this project just because you have this artificial deadline. I'm not going to kill myself because you didn't plan ahead. Like, this is what I need to do a good job. I need space. I need time. I need rest. I need time off, right? I started getting promotions. I started getting raises. I started getting better job offers because I was out of that fear-based thinking and was actually delivering at a higher level. Because I started to have those boundaries. So it's like, yeah, I could rush through this, but it's not going to be as good as if I really take my time and do something really well and really thoughtful for you. And so, you know, it's like, yeah, it's, I think that shift, it really translates in ways that you can't even imagine when you're still trapped in that fear and in that grind.
And it brings you back to the balance of you. And when you're in balance, everything flows.
Yes.
I don't want this to end. I never do. I never want these to end because you know, this is the reason why we have this show, to have these talks. I love it. I love it. But my
anything else going on, Shelly, before I know we do have to get going here soon, but anything else going on in your world that you'd like to share with us, or any offerings or anything like that before, and any words of wisdom you like to send out to the people fighting Cosmic Insight here tonight?
Yes, this has been such a beautiful conversation, and I'm so grateful that you invited me to share with you today. I am planning on offering a meditation class in the near future. So just like before, if you want to get on my email list, you'll be first to know about when that becomes available. It's basically going to be a 4-week journey on how to begin or how to deepen your meditation practice. And we're going to talk about a lot of the concepts we've hit on here about how to learn how to bring yourself to the cushion on a regular basis without relying on guilt, shame, and self-aggression. How to deepen your practice of meditation, which, you know, has tremendous benefits that I'm sure a lot of people already know about, but can reduce your stress, improve your sleep, improve your quality of life in numerous ways, but also advance your spiritual and healing journey in many ways that are seen and unseen. And we'll also talk about integration, like about how your meditation practice can help you to be more mindful in other aspects of your life, where you can shift from being reactive to situations that arise, to being able to like take a step back and really reflect and be able to make a thoughtful choice about how you engage with people and situations.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you, Cosmic Explorers, for tuning in to another week of Cosmic Insight, to where we explore the depths of any and all things in this universal space.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Rebecca. It's been an honor.
Thank you, Hillis. Shelley, it has been an honor for me meeting you for the first time. I know Hillis brings all these people, my first time I get to meet people. So it has been such an honor to be in the presence of you're just a beautiful radiant goddess. I mean, you just glow and just your knowledge, and it just just such an honor to be in your presence tonight. So thank you so much for sharing your gifts, your talents, your story, and your beingness, and the beautiful being you truly are. It's been quite an honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure. So wonderful to meet with you and share with you tonight, my cosmic brother, Hillis, and Rebecca. Yes. Thanks to everyone out there who's listening. I appreciate your time and hope that we connect very soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Cosmic Explorers. Until next time, keep on exploring. Love ya. Mwah.